Thank you, Uncle John. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that we can gather today as your body, the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, that it would not be me speaking, but you speaking to us, Lord, to our hearts, God. And that we would catch a glimpse today of what it means to live by faith, live this journey of faith to which you are calling us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to see you all today. I see some faces of those who've been away for a little while and have been back. So welcome. Lately, as you know, I've been focusing on Hudson Taylor in several of my recent sermons for a couple reasons. First, he demonstrates so well what it means to live by faith, which is our theme for this year. And secondly, because our mission teams are studying his life as part of their preparation for their overseas ministry this summer. And there's an important lesson, an important test of faith that Hudson Taylor experienced as a young man that I would like to mention this morning. This test of faith would radically shape his thinking for the rest of his life. The outcome of this test gave him an unshakable confidence in the faithfulness of God. And the story begins this way. It's before he ever left for China, and he was a young assistant to a physician in his area. And he worked for this physician full time, and yet the physician often forgot to pay him. Okay, those of you who are medical students here, you can imagine how awful that would be. Or maybe, I don't know if you're getting paid yet or not, but I'll ask you later. You don't have to share that right now. But imagine that, working full time, and then your employer forgets to pay you. And as a step of faith, Taylor decided he's not going to ask for his money. He's going to pray that God would remind his employer when to pay him. And unfortunately, that meant he didn't get paid for long periods of time. But there's this one story in particular that's so helpful for us that we can learn from. Not only did he work full-time, but each Sunday he led a service for the poor in his area. And there's this one Sunday in particular that after his service ended at 10 p.m., a man asked Hudson Taylor to visit his family and to pray for his wife who was dying. Taylor, you know, he wanted to help, so he got up, he went with this man, he entered this ramshackle home in a slum, and entered this home to find a family that was starving to death. All Taylor owned, his entire wealth, was in his pocket right then and there, and it was one coin. And he knew that he needed this coin because he did not have enough food for dinner the next day or enough food for the next week. He needed that money. And yet he's with this family who's starving. So he tries to encourage them. He tries to brighten up their perspective, all the while feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit grow stronger and stronger within him. By giving the family his one coin, he knew he could save this mother's life. And yet he needed that money to eat food the next day. So he kept that money in his pocket. And so he tries to pray for them. He kneels down, praying out loud, all the while thinking that he's the greatest hypocrite who's ever lived. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit became so strong that he could hardly take it anymore. He felt so terrible that he finally reached into his pocket, took out his last coin, and gave it to this man for his family. Suddenly, God's joy filled his heart afresh, and he returned home, literally singing out loud in the streets, because he was filled with such joy. He did not know what he would eat the next week, but he knew that he had trusted God and that he had obeyed God in this crucial test. Early the next morning, a package arrived for him, addressed in writing he could not recognize the writing. He opened the package and found that it contained money, 4 times the amount of what he gave the night before. And he thought, if only the merchants in my town knew the investor that I invest with, they would love to invest their money and get a fourfold return in 12 hours. The woman's life had been saved. And God had demonstrated his faithfulness to Hudson Taylor and had honored his obedience. Now this incident profoundly shaped the way Taylor from this day for the rest of his life viewed God's faithfulness. Later he would summarize this lesson in these words: God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Let me say that again. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. It doesn't mean that he didn't face other challenges, other hardships. But it means that Taylor understood who God was. He put his trust in God's faithfulness. And he then experienced God meet him at his point of need. This year I've been focusing on our theme, We Live by Faith in the Son of God. We began this year by learning that the journey of faith entails walking through the fog, moving ahead into an uncertain future, even when we cannot clearly see the road ahead. In spite of the fog, we move forward by faith because we stand upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. Then last time I spoke, we saw that the life of faith requires that we remember the cross, where according to Galatians 2:20, we've been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. As we remember the cross, we realize that the cross is a different event than any other historical event that we learn about in the history books, or that we read about in various sources, because our lives are unfolded within Christ's death and resurrection. This cannot be said for any other historical event. In this way, Christ's death does not just happen to him, but it happens to us. Because on the cross, Jesus puts to death our sin and our sinful flesh through his death, so that we can live through his life, so that we can experience his resurrection life living in us and through us each day as we surrender to the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. When we remember this, that our lives are enfolded in his cross, we are moved to surrender our lives to the rule, the reign, and the lordship of Jesus Christ. We surrender not just a part of us, but all of who we are to Jesus, including our dreams, our ambitions, our plans, and as we saw in the life of Hudson Taylor, even our romantic interests. When we remember Christ's death and surrender our lives to him in response, we are committing to follow him no matter where he leads, and no matter what it costs us. This week we are looking at another central aspect of faith. In this journey of faith, as we walk through the fog, standing upon the rock that is Jesus Christ, we not only remember Christ's death and surrender to his rule and reign, but we also learn. We learn from the great cloud of witnesses, people like Hudson Taylor, who surround us with the examples of their lives and their testimonies of God's faithfulness. We learn from them, and then we leap by entering our own journey of faith, the journey to which God is calling us and trusting that as God was faithful to them, so he will also be faithful to us. But first, a little background. When Alexander the Great captured the land of Israel in 332 BC, he brought with him Greek culture, which included a tradition of competitive athletics. Raise your hand if you're an athlete. Who's an athlete here today? Come on, don't be shy. You guys, many of you are athletes. Thank you. In fact, every 2 years in the city of Corinth, the city of Corinth hosted famous competitive games that were so famous, they were second in fame only to the ancient Olympic Games. And the games in Corinth were held in honor of the Greek gods. And the festival consisted of foot races, horse races, chariot contests, jumping, wrestling, boxing, and throwing the discus and javelin. Unfortunately, no tennis, no field hockey, no lacrosse. Some of you would have to adjust. The original readers of the book of Hebrews would have been familiar with these and many other lesser-known local games that were held throughout the ancient world, in which athletes competed in various tests of skill and endurance. And so the author of the book of Hebrews uses the imagery of the competitive race and of a stadium filled with spectators to inspire his readers to persevere, to complete the life of faith to which God is calling them. The author of the book of Hebrews knew that many of his readers probably attended these athletic events. They would have at one time sat in these stadiums, in these amphitheaters. They would have seen these athletic contests. And so he writes in Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." The cloud of witnesses mentioned in Hebrews 12:1 is made up of those who have gone before, including those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. This list includes Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and others. It is as though the people who have run their race, who have completed their journey of faith before us, are filling this stadium, and we are now the athletes. All eyes are now on us. Those who have gone before show us how to run well and how not to run, alerting us to the pitfalls and the mistakes that they have made. It is as though these former athletes of faith in the stands of the stadium now look down on us and ask, "Will you learn from our mistakes? Will you learn from our triumphs? Will you run well? Will you persevere and complete the great contest of faith to which you have been called? Will you boldly walk through the fog, standing on the rock that is Jesus Christ?" We have run our race. Now it is time for you to run yours. I could not help but be struck this week as I visited Chen Shimu in the hospital, how she is such a wonderful example of this, of one of these heroes of faith who has run her race before us, who gives us the example of her life. And yes, we grieve and we mourn, and we will miss her, but we also know that we will see her someday. And we also learn from her life. She doesn't want us to just be sad, but to also take the lesson of her life, to learn from it, to incorporate it into our life, so that we run the race before us, so that we run this race of faith well. It is now our time to run. All eyes are on us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, a group of people who have already run their race, who have lived their lives of faith for the Lord, and who offer us their lives for us to learn from. Some of these heroes of faith have already gone to be with the Lord, while others are still with us. They are those that are older and wiser, who we know, who are our mentors, who are our friends, who are our uncles, aunties, grandparents, who we can learn from, who are living examples still. And it's so interesting because God used George Mueller in Hudson Taylor's life as one of these living examples, a mentor that he could learn from right when he was in the middle of his faith journey, a mentor who could give him lessons of faith to help him run his race well. Raise your hand if you've heard of George Mueller. A few, but not as many as have heard of Hudson Taylor. But George Mueller is amazing because he had no money of his own. No money of his own. But listen to this. He ran an orphanage for 2,000 children on faith, trusting God to supply. Not only that, but during his entire lifetime, if you look at how many people he helped, Mueller provided for 10,024 orphans, founded 117 schools, and educated more than 120,000 children on faith alone. One author writes, without a penny of endowment, without an appeal of any kind for help. That means he never asked people for money. He never told people about his needs. Without doing this, by only letting his needs be known to the Father in heaven, on whose promise he relied, George Mueller proved the faithfulness of God in a way that encouraged Hudson Taylor's faith and that of many others. Mueller stepped out by faith, experienced the faithfulness of God, and thereby inspired Hudson Taylor to also take God at his word, to live a life of faith-filled obedience, and thereby to continue to experience the miraculous faithfulness and provision of God. Not only so, but Mueller, who was about 30 years older than Taylor, chose to encourage the younger man in his ministry by faithfully supporting the China Inland Mission with the money God provided. Okay, imagine this. George Mueller, living by faith alone, providing for thousands of orphans. He needs every penny he can get. So God provides him money to run his orphanage. Mueller takes that money and gives it away. Okay? This is not your typical financial planning. And yet, by giving it away, God kept providing for Mueller. And God used Mueller to encourage Hudson Taylor. And from the records, and they didn't boast about this, they did this privately, but we now know from the historical record that God, over several years, and these were years in which Hudson Taylor's ministry was especially struggling financially, God moved Mueller to give about $10,000 each year, which was a huge sum of money back then, for the needs of Taylor's ministry. And we now continue to reap the interest of that investment as we as a Chinese American church who have been benefited directly and indirectly by Hudson Taylor's ministry and by George Mueller's obedience before that. Now, Hebrews chapter 13 gives us the reason why we may allow these amazing stories of those who have gone before to inspire our confidence in the faithfulness of God. We read in Hebrews 13, 7 through 8, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." In other words, we are commanded to learn from the lives of our leaders, those who have gone before us in this journey of faith, both those who are living and those who have gone to be with the Lord, but who leave a record of their faith journey. But when we learn from them, when we consider the outcome of their lives and strive to imitate their faith, we remember that the key to their success, the only reason that they were great, was that the life and power of Jesus Christ was at work within them. When we understand this, then we begin to view the heroes of faith who have gone before us as vessels, often broken vessels, that were cleaned, mended, and used by God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If God could use them, brothers and sisters, He can also use us. Only through God's work may anyone become an example of faith. In other words, our journey of faith is infinitely more about God's faithfulness than it is about our own strength or our own capacity to trust God. As God is faithful to us, out of His grace, mercy, and love, He will cause our faith to grow so that someday we can be examples to the generations that come after us. Understanding this, Hudson Taylor once said that if we want our faith to increase, we don't flex our muscles, we don't strive harder, we don't focus on our inadequate faith. No, he said that if we want our faith to increase, we must shift our focus away from ourselves and focus on the faithful one. Let me say that again. If we want our faith to increase, we shift our attention away from ourselves and we focus on the faithful one. I'm going to preach on that next time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As Jesus was faithful to all those who've gone before us, who took Him at His word, trusted Him with their lives, and followed Him no matter where He led, no matter what the cost, so Jesus will be faithful to us as we respond to His leading with trust and obedience. As we learn from the lives of those who've gone before us, we are filled with confidence, not because of our own greatness, but because of the greatness of our Lord, who made these heroes of faith what they were, and who also offers us the chance to be used by Him for His glory. We learn of what God can do by studying these lives. We learn of Christ's faithfulness, and then we leap into our own journey of faith, facing our challenges with confidence. Confidence not in ourselves, but confidence in our faithful Lord, who will use every trial, every difficulty, every loss for His glory, shaping us into men and women of faith. If Hudson Taylor had not acted in faith by obediently reaching into his pocket, pulling out his last coin and giving it to save the life of this dying mother, and then experiencing God's faithful provision, he would never have learned the lesson that he would need so much in China. Not very long after he arrived in China, a friend of his named Dr. Parker opened a new hospital in Ningpo and financially supported this hospital through his lucrative private medical practice. However, tragedy struck, and Dr. Parker's wife died suddenly, leaving him with four young children, one of whom was also very, very ill. Dr. Parker realized that he needed to return to Scotland in order to care for his family, and so he handed the responsibility for this hospital over to his friend Hudson Taylor. Unfortunately, when Dr. Parker left, so did his lucrative medical practice, which the hospital needed to survive. Hudson Taylor only had enough money to run the hospital for 1 month. Even if he wrote to friends in England, it would take his letter 3 months to travel across the oceans, and then another 3 months for money sent from England to arrive back in China. They had no one to help them. No one, that is, except God. Day by day, the month slowly passed, And all Taylor's money and resources and supplies were slowly spent to keep the hospital going. Taylor and his Christian co-workers often held prayer meetings, calling upon their Heavenly Father to provide what they lacked so that they might continue to minister to those in need. Yet, day after day, no answer came. Finally, the cook told Hudson Taylor, "The very last bag of rice has been opened, and it's disappearing rapidly. What are we going to do?" Taylor looked at the cook and just very calmly responded with these words, "Well then, the Lord's time for helping us must be close at hand." Indeed it was, for before that final bag of rice had been completely emptied, a letter arrived from England from someone named Mr. Berger, who had sent it months beforehand without ever knowing about their need, without ever knowing how God would use his letter at exactly the right time to help his servants in China. Mr. Berger in this letter explained that his father had recently passed away and that he had received a large inheritance, but he already had enough. He didn't need more. And so he felt like the Lord was putting it on his heart to use his extra money for God's kingdom. And so he enclosed a check for £50, a large amount of money in that day. And he asked if he could be in service in supporting God's work in China. You see, to have faith means to simply look to our loving Father, expecting him to meet our need through his own faithfulness. What challenge do you face today? What step of faith is God calling you to make? Today we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by those who have served God faithfully in the past. It's like we are now in the center of the arena. All eyes are on us. And the crowd who's gone before us, they're cheering us on. Stand firm, persevere, run that race ahead of you. Be faithful to God because God will be faithful to you. We are now the athletes in the arena, facing fierce trials, painful struggles. And yet we have the same Lord who has been faithful to so many in the past and who now promises to remain faithful to us. Let us look not to our own strength or capacity, but let us together look to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And let us watch as he makes a way for us to serve him in obedience to his call. Would you pray with me? Lord God, this life of faith to which you call us is not easy. This race is so hard that you command us to persevere. You know how hard it is. You know the setbacks, the difficulties, the unexpected obstacles. You know the pain we encounter. You know it all. And yet, Lord, you call us to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Lord, remind us of these heroes of faith who've gone before us, who fill the stands of the stadium, who are examples not of human greatness, but who are examples of human weakness and how, Jesus, you are faithful when we are weak, how you are strong and you supply our need. You meet us at the very point where we have nothing else to lean on. Lord, I just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would give us the gift of faith. The gift of a faith that doesn't make sense by human standards, but that will lead us into this adventure in which we experience your faithfulness day by day, and in which you use us beyond what we can imagine. Lord, do this in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.